You'd think those crickets would just go to sleep for the winter. We'd have a little bit of free time. But no, we're going to keep up. Make ISS keeps us warm. We're supposed to do better. Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode VTWRLM 456. You look around, folks. The unvaccinated are now the control group. They need your unvaccinated self to be the control for what they're doing to other people. Figure that one out. And so, watch out. The control group is the group in control. And so I want to know, how come we're not acting like it? Again, this answer does not change. It's the same thing over and over and over. No one, in fact, it came through again. Somebody in Canada, some business owner, I guess likens Trudeau as the Wicked Witch of the West, sending out the monkeys, the cops, the enforcers. And he's resisting, which I said perfect in the Twitter. And I said, now hose down the Wicked Witch with a demand for the non-fraudulent exigency. Where do I find that? I don't make this stuff up. You can't anymore. You have to go to a basis, a black and white basis that sits there before everybody. And you rely on that because they'll just say it's your opinion. And that's your communicable disease law. I was going to wait to talk about this. A lot of people, I'm just going to say a little bit. I don't have the time to cover it right now on this broadcast, nor have I had the time this week to respond to emails. We're focusing really heavily on that petition. It's very, very, very close. So we need to get that done. So I apologize not getting to my emails this week to comment to too many. But over the few months, I've had lots of people commenting and questioning this situation about the employers and the mandates and all that. And it doesn't really matter where you are in the world, too. It's all pretty much the same. So what I want to point out just for the time being is if you're confused or you don't know what you're doing, and even though you have all the work you're doing to prove how it's all a fraud, most people are looking at the mitigation side. You're looking at the mandates, the masks, the vaccines or the jab, whatever they want to call them. You're looking at the mitigation side, and you're getting overwhelmed. And this seems to be a universal problem. For people that are generally looking to defend themselves, what you need to start with is the communicable disease law, and you find the duties and obligations. That's where you start. And you look at the process that goes on. There's due process in there. In fact, that was the lead of that story on Twitter, was that the monkeys need to be retaught what due process is. That's really all I've been talking about. Go find the objective due process, the steps that have to be done, and find the duties and obligations of the official. So start there. Everybody needs to start there. Once you find it, go read through the whole section, get a feel for what's happening. Then go and return back to the duties. There's four or five steps that have to be done. In particular, there has to be a medical report filed again on you, each one of you. This is where I said the battle is each one of you. You're giving up your rights. No one else is giving them up for you. Moronic variant is not doing anything. The governments are oppressing you, and you're not stopping it. And this is across the world. And so go find your communicable disease law, find the duties and obligations of the official, and then you go verify for you whether or not those steps have been done. That's the first thing you do. And I say, I'm going to interject again, and most people are focusing on the other side, what they're doing. That's not what you focus on, because that's going to confuse you. You're going to find all the ways to disprove what they're doing, but what they're doing is fraud, ultimately. Now you have to prove it, because they are given a privilege, the sovereign citizen privilege, that they are above the law, that they have been doing the law, essentially. And if you think that I haven't been dealing with that in our petition, then you're not listening to what I'm saying. This is a universal brass ring they grab onto, and the courts hand it to them. So you've got to defeat all that, but it's pretty simple. Go to your communicable disease law, find the five steps. The first step is that there has to be a medical report on you, and you qualify that it doesn't exist or that it does exist. And that's another issue. Now you have your due process rights, which I've been saying is the habeas corpus. So without getting too far afield, everybody has to know their communicable disease law and how their local official failed for each one of you. Now, for those of you that are employees and you're really starting to feel the pressure, I've been anticipating this for quite a few months. And if you're new to the broadcast and listening, I've been talking about what you all have an employer, potential employer problem. how to address that. And that became, again, what I had helped out before in making the affidavits of religious exemption. Most people balked at that. First of all, it is, oh, I'm not doing a religious exemption. Then no one listened, I guess. You don't need to have a religion. If you go to the Seeger case, you just have to have a belief that you can assert. But if you even know anyone to do that, it's even simpler. You just, whether it's a government or it's a business, they have to declare that necessity to act against you. And so for everybody, you need to know your communicable disease law, and they haven't, for you, they have not complied and comported their actions with you. And that's where you challenge. That's how they're defeating you. And they didn't have the right to do, there's no jurisdiction in them to do the first thing. They have no authority if they can't get the jurisdiction, which requires a certain, those steps. Now, for those of you that are employees and you're learning and watching how they're finding all the ways that they're doing it wrong, and then you're having a concern, don't get lost. You're learning too much, actually. What you need to learn instead, like you need to learn the communicable disease law, and you need to learn where the duties and obligations of the government is, the public official is, relative to employment, you have to learn what the obligations and duties of the employer are before they can make any demand. And that's the basis for the two documents, affidavits I made up for people early on about the religious exemption. The beginning clause of each of those puts the burden on the employer where it belongs. And so if you're learning a whole bunch of mitigation thing, how they're doing it wrong to you, you're missing the point. You have to go learn how they never invoked the right authority in order to talk to you as an employee or demand upon you as an employee. And I went through all that. That happened to be for the United States, the people. It's easier for me to see Title 29. We have that labor relations situation. And guess what? That's where we're OSHA sits right in there, where they supposedly have all these powers and rights, but that's not true. And the Supreme Court, I should get there. This is why I was going to wait and not talk about it, because we've got a decision on the Supreme Court on all this mandate nonsense. And they still did it wrong. And that's why you have to do it better and right. I would say do it right. And so for the employees or employee relationships, you have a second thing you need to do. First, you identify what was supposed to happen in the communicable disease law, find out a no, or just assert that it never happened to you, so you haven't been determined to be the infectious principal carrying the infectious agent, which maybe now in your employment they're demanding you do mitigation measures for. But the guidance, if you would go to the federal, United States federal OSHA, and the Title 29, and I've made two or three broadcasts on this and explained fully, you can just rely on, even go to the religious exemption website. It has nothing to do with religion, for those of you that keep want to push that off. Oh, it's not for me. This is for everybody, folks. This thing that's coming on is cross-sector, cross-belief, cross-philosophy. And so, I'll be giving you a link here where people are now recognizing that. We have to get together. I don't care what your belief system is. They're coming to take you out. They're going to force their religion on you. You keep fighting amongst your own religion or lack of it. And so within the paperwork I've shown, and then showing the non-secular religion called state and what they are have the power right now to do, they demand a certain burden which is not on the employee. You go to the OSHA, you go to the religious exemption page, and it has three things that the employer has to do before they can even talk to you. My forms, the affidavits that I said to present, demand that be demonstrated of the employer. That's before you have to worry about whether or not they can mandate jabs or whether they can force you into meetings or go teleconference and all that. And this is both a legal issue and this is a communication issue. And so, again, I'm spending a lot more time here to talk about this, but there's a lot, I've been for months, people have been coming to me, and I'm trying to focus everybody on what they need to do. And it's a long time coming that people will just kind of do what I ask them to do for themselves. So for employees, you go to for those that don't have OSHA, like you're out of the country, United States of America, the burden that we see in black and white from the government itself, the OSHA, the ones that were going to supposedly be given the power to enforce the jab on everybody, says right on the website that the business has to demonstrate the necessity to do anything to you, for you, about you, or demand anything of you first. Secondly, it has to show how it is economically impacted when it doesn't, when you aren't, when you have been a problem and you aren't able, wanting to do anything. And then they have to show how they're needful imposition, how it interferes with their employees generally. That's the first three. There's a whole bunch more. All the burdens are on the official, on the authority, impressing upon us the demand to act, to be doing things that they say, just because they say so. And so, I'm going to have to stop here. If you're getting confused, there's too much, you're learning too much about what they are, how they're doing it wrong on the mitigation side. You're not focusing correctly. Focus on the communicable disease law. You only have about 5 points to learn there. And it's usually in one paragraph, one statute, one code section, and the subsections. And then you, for employees, go to the labor law of the country to find that the employer has a burden. And they have to just demonstrate the necessity. Well, if it's all made up and there is no test, how can they do that? And that's what you stand on. You say, you're essentially committing fraud against me. And for the United States, I understand we went through the fact that you, and I build into the affidavit, it's retaliation to come against you when you challenge that. And that's actionable. So you set yourself up for a future administrative action using the government itself to come after the employer. And if they both don't work, then it's collusion against you and you go after both of them. And yes, no one likes to do that. Yes, I don't even like suggesting it. But that's what's gone on. You start to see the actual prison that you're in when you supposedly claim you're free, but you have so much to do to keep free. And there's no recognition that there's any presumption of your innocence, which is really what I started to fixate on, if you will. I said, man, everything is set up to take away that presumption of innocence under the color that they're remit, that they are recognizing it. And so how do you stop that? You show you have no burden of any duty and obligation until the one who's making the claim against you has proven their case, requiring that you respond. And so I probably talked way too much here, because I can't get to anybody here in probably another half a week or so to talk about some of this, these things. Redirect your energy, put them there. And I'm telling you now, right now, I'm actually communicating to you folks that are doing that because it's important. I got to give you 3 or 4 days a head start before I can even get back to you. But this is the problem. You're looking, all of you that have commented about trying to show the mandates and they're going to be imposed and they're making demands. We're going to hear the demands are coming. This is the other problem. This is why I'm finding so urgent to remind you all, don't get lost in the minutiae of all the mitigation measures. Prove out that they're wrong and then move back to where you need to be, which is to understand who has the actual burden here. They say jump and you have to, or when they say jump, you say, show me why. That's really what this is all about. Simple as that. So let me move on to moving back old news, if you will, and looking how the system heals itself and the techniques that they use. And I say, this is a long time coming. You're not going to get any of this just from hearing me. We get little bits and dribbles of it. How to watch the system heal itself to continue the corruption. It's not just used after the fact. We're watching to see that they do it. They confirmed it. And then you can put that in your magic decoder ring of action that they do in order to head them off in the future as you learn this stuff as well. And as I say that, there's not really much I talk about that's not able to be able to take, and you can apply it in your life and just about anywhere. But this is one of the things around us. We look at our society, we want to think it's wholesome enough, or we'll laugh and say it's not, and then we won't take any action to stop the unwholesomeness of it. And remember, that's just like a cancer in your society of any nature. But we go back to the situation. It's a little bit close to my heart to watch, although I didn't keep track of it. I'm more interested now, what's the system going to do to try and heal it itself up relative to the expose of the pedophilia condition, inside the child services system, really where I come from when I finally started to focus my whole existence around how are we supposed to defeat these criminals that are in the offices? Everyone calls it bad government, but it's not. It's people operating syndicates inside the government under the color of government. No one ever stepped up and not really said anything. Though we complain a bit, but we don't really start acting in unison, which we're going to really have to start doing. Otherwise, you're going to watch it. It's going to go quick here. But here we go. Just go quickly touch this. Ghislaine Maxwell, juror who could upend a conviction, works for Carlyle Group. And I'm just reading off to Cryptogon.com. I could have went to the story. He has a link to Bloomberg. And he says, I couldn't make it up if I tried. And I almost have to agree. Point is that there's someone on the jury insinuating himself. I told you, I reported on that last week. I said this is a setup to try and get this, heal this situation up. The judge sealed the book, sealed who was being, just Lane was mixing up. We understood a couple of the bad apples fell out quick from the tree, like Andrew, and you're watching some things happen. His lawsuit's going to go forward. His civil lawsuit's going forward. He's having to cut ties with all his patrons back in the UK. But you couldn't make this up if you tried. Well, in a way, this is what I want you to get beyond. Yes, you can. If you know this is the situation, you can absolutely predict this was going to be covered up, who might be involved, that it would be involved. When you see the Carlyle Group as an equity investment group, you're talking back in the funds and the money. Where's the money? Who's coming in to sabotage this thing? And you're watching whom the players are. Who is this record going to expose? For those of you that are interested in this field, this is what you can watch and see how the system heals itself up. Now, what I find interesting is most people are starting to see it. It's coming out pretty quickly how bad this is. The problem is that corruption continues. It continues and it's going to continue. Until essentially we're coming to the time where we're going to have to come to a reckoning with ourselves, the people. Are we going to allow this nonsense to continue? Or is it going to continue and destroy us? And I want to have optimism, but I'm not seeing it yet. That's why I keep talking. Keep focused, folks. Keep on the important points. If an employer doesn't have the right to make the mandate or the jab or whatever, mandate anything, because they don't have established the necessity, why are you putting a lot of energy there once you see those measures are no good? I said that comes second. Same thing here. Watch how the system that we rely on that says it's wholesome and justice, how it's healing itself up. And so there's a sabotage going on, and you can follow the money through this. I'm not going to do it. I just know this is what's happening. This is not a surprise to me. If I was to sit down now with my mind and say, well, what would happen? I would say, well, there's going to be a spoiler in the jury, and it would be coming from a prominent, probably hub-connected condition relative to all this. These people, you want to talk about philanthropy? Where do you think this is all coming from? So, moving up here, continuing that saga, watching to see whether or not they actually can heal that wound and what they're doing. It's not about just Lane. It's about protecting everyone behind the scenes. And you can apply that protection system just about everywhere you go. Really. I mean, it's just kind of pathetic, embarrassing statement of what our system has become. And again, we were to keep that republic, at least the United States. Everywhere there's a sense of having liberty or being free, even in the monarchy states, the crown countries, you have this. And again, the Canuckistinian business owner stepping back, you're going to be taught. You need to be learned about due process. Perfect. That's where you go. That's where you start. But you need to know, where's due process? That they're at your door, or that they didn't have a right to be at the door until there was a public demonstration of a non-fraudulent exigency for whatever those law enforcers were there. Could be well in anything beyond COVID. Everything that the government does has a limitation. You know, the probable cause, reasonable suspicion, all that stuff. Yeah, there has to be a record. But before they can have a reasonable suspicion, they have to demonstrate. They have the right to be having a reasonable suspicion whatever you're doing is wrong in that subject matter. Moving on now, we keep moving in the tabs here. Moving another story through, watching the global idea of again, this is now in war. I really despise this idea of war. Peace on earth, goodwill to men always reminds me that we're not. And it just kicks me right back to Cain killing Abel type stuff. If brother's going to kill brother, we were in a lot of trouble before all this stuff started going on. And given that, even if you don't want to agree with that little story, if it's a little fable, it's the truth. People will take and exploit each other to no minimum, no limitation. And then they get into government. Fascinating. But U.S., and so here's the biggest brute in the world casting aspersions, and this is how this starts to play out in the world. And I said, whatever the government of the United States does, it's going to lie against you. It's going to act against you in a similar manner as a reflection in a mirror I don't know how many times I've been able to bring that home. I hope people are listening to that. The government that we have is rogue. Everyone wants to say that, but no one wants to really step up to organize to stop it. And right now, they're going to, those organizations that are coming, those are rogue, are coming after you in your life. Now, I've been saying they're coming right to your, well, they've already told you they're coming in your COVID, right to your door. They're not bashful to do so, but your entire life is going to be moved into, again, they call it prosperity. It's austerity that we have never, ever conceived in America. Maybe other countries will be used to it. You know, you come from a socialist company, a country, and you think coming into America is a saltine cracker, but it's not. And so it's just hidden in different ways. But U.S. warns, this is an interesting little dynamic that went on in the geopolitical sphere. U.S. warns Kazakhstan will find it difficult to get Russia troops to leave. Again, finger pointing out, it's likely the one finger pointing is the one doing it. This is exactly what happens here. Well, the Russians went in, we talked about this last week, went into Kazakhstan, and they were apparently asked to, and we find, and I didn't know, I have a tab for this to explain it. They have a mutual defense treaty, and this is partly why I want to even talk about it. Countries in Eastern Europe have mutual defense treaties. This is what we, people, the people of the United States, anywhere that want to be free, have to start developing. Put all your differences down, make a treaty to work together in mutual defense of yourself against this oppressor, which happens to be, in this case, warning that Russia troops, once they went into Kazakhstan, wouldn't leave. And so that's the news heading you hear. And this is the audacity of the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, a dual citizen apparently, warned Kazakhstan on Friday that it will have a difficult time getting the Russian forces it invited to the country to quell unrest to leave. And boy, you look around with the United States, where the United States go, does it leave? No, we're already on the record that we won't. In fact, we insinuate ourselves in, we use the UN to go in on their peacekeeping forces. So the United States boldly claims the Russians may not, it would be difficult for them to leave, to quell the unrest, on Kazakhstan's invitation. And then we hear this story. Russian troops begin leaving Kazakhstan after government restores control. And so here we, again, we have a nugget of observation for us. If the United States is going to be doing this, deny sovereigns their ability to make contracts and agreements between themselves in mutual defense. Cast aspersions. This is not statesmanship anyway. All right, so this is already off my radar as far as being legitimate. But then you see the deed, right? You can say lots of words, but you watch the deed. And you see the story and you realize the United States is just pandering to exploitation. Totally embarrassing and totally, in my mind, criminal. Because what this starts up is building in, there's a war coming, folks, that they're attempting to build the right to. NATO's not backing off. Russian troops began leaving Kazakhstan on Thursday. I assume that was when I read this through, they were going to be done in just a week. Everybody that came in, it was 2,300 troops, they're all going to be moved out. Russian troops sent to help Kazakhstan's government quell violent protests have begun leaving the country, according to Russian Defense Minister. After I reported on this last week, I looked a little bit deeper into it. They had a real problem. They did have a Kazakhstan spring going on, and it was two or three different elements. Russia looked very particular to see there was exactly one element that was the serious nature, and Russia, we find, came in to protect all of the infrastructure, the power, and the energy, and the government offices, so that the Kazakhstan police could go out and protect the civilian, if you will, population against what they saw as an insurrection, a foreign insurrection. So Russia was asked to come in. And it wasn't Russia. Here's the other story, the other problem with this. It wasn't just Russia. They were asked to come in to help bolster the protection of facilities in the state of Kazakhstan for, you know, power and energy and government offices and all that. And so the government itself could go and stop this insurrection against it. And it worked. In fact, many people died, which is, you know, shooting you in the street type stuff. It doesn't sound good, but when they're looking, it was really a national security problem. Russia actually didn't come in a capacity to do anything except protect the infrastructure. Well, how'd they do that? It wasn't even Russia. Because what you find out that they keep, and it took me a little bit, is they talked about the CSTO. What's that? Well, it's the Collective Security Treaty Organization. So they had a whole group of people coming in this mutual defense, coming from all aspects of prior pre-Soviet nations coming together when they're independent, coming together, mutual defense treaty, to help one of their own in the treaty. This is not much different than NATO for them. So what is a CSTO and why did it send peacekeepers to Kazakhstan? And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm just going to identify that this is what was going on. Not Russia. Certainly they're the big player. There's no doubt. But more than 2,500 paratroopers from Russia, Belarus, Armenia, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan were sent to ease tensions. The Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO, peacekeeping operations in Kazakhstan has managed to stabilize the situation in the country. This was stated on January 10th by President of the Russia Federation, Vladimir Putin. According to Kazakh President Tokayev, there was an attempted coup d'etat in the country during which 17 policemen and 26 protesters were killed and over 1,000 people were injured. These events forced him to ask CSTO for immediate assistance. Let's end right there. This was an internalized protection system. Again, the mirror of Eastern Europe and what the United States does to foment tensions and war and take down places like Ukraine. They're doing that in the United States. And we see there's no limit to how low these people go in the United States government. That's a problem for us here, us the people. And this is a problem for every government. And the people that be thinking that they're living in liberty and freedom. My view of this has been we've been in a big prison. And when I started taking that view and looking at how the communications line works in prison and what you have to do and what you can't do, it oriented my thoughts on how to approach things a lot more simply, a lot more cleanly. And when I started to do that, it started to change things. And I don't, can't, you know, it's not even a proof because it's an ongoing tension between abject oppression and your ability to avoid it because we're not free of it. It just doesn't go away. And I'm not talking about the historic goings on of mankind in the world. It's just an extension. It's been amplified in the rule of law countries. And they did it under stealth, under the appearance of propriety that was under the color of a lawful government, and it's not. No one took the time to go read, like I'm asking you to do. Go read the communications law. When you find out the five studies, the duties and the obligations, and you find that they didn't do it, you're watching the front up, face up, right in your face, the oppression. And not a peep to stop it is our problem. And so we have to stop it. And I don't know, I'm not someone to advocate the violent part. I don't see any way that makes it work for us. We have to take what we were given, take the good parts of it, cast out the stuff that's no good now, that's the cancers. We've got to cut out the cancers and then hold on to what was good that allowed us to be able to cut them out and then fortify against how they got in. And that takes going to take a more brain than me, more interest for sure, and maybe better place for people to do things. At least my experience says. So here we have the Russian so-called worked. It was actually a mutual defense treaty to defend themselves, and they did it successfully and very quickly. Now, people had to die in that, but because it looked like it was a coup, not just a coup d'etat against the president, but a coup against the established government. And so this is what's going on under the color of COVID. In everywhere there's a rule of law and democracy, it's a different style of coup. And if you think that we're sitting in any kind of a reflection of law and order, I hope that no one listens to me believes that. And even if you don't understand how it's like that, I hope you don't believe it and you're working hard to figure out. And I'm trying to show you, don't work so hard to go so comprehensive on your knowledge. Right now, all you got to do is find out who didn't do what they were supposed to do. And you have the black and white copy and paste section, chapter and verse on what. And that is going to start being the thing that protects us. Certainly if there's more of us. And so we have the United States claiming totalitarianism. You're going to have the Russians leave. Well, the Russians were only in part there in a mutual defense to stop a problem, an invasion, actually, under color of a protest of power and energy, which they have. They weren't so smart to wait till spring like the UK, which you got coming up in the UK. The UK going to have now law that's coming in to allow the power companies to charge you a third more, $1,000 a year more. I don't know how you folks are going to do it. The modernization of the world is on. They mean you harm. It's going to go. I was almost lying to y'all to say austerity is where they're going to put you. Austerity is essentially your death. Austerity is, I'm going to live on, instead of having salt on my crackers, I'm just going to have crackers. That's austerity. And you're agreeable to that. Say, wait a minute, where's the banquet? No, they're going to take that cracker away. And we're going to show you how they're going to do it here. They're going to give you something that they just to determine is what you should eat because it's palatable. Anyway, if we get to that story, I'm so far behind already. Totalitarianism is America is here. There's a link I'll send you. It's a transcript of a discussion, and I found it insightful. I found it. This is the one that agrees. He's a writer explains, and he's a writer that's written many books. He sees that we are going to have to come together as well. We're going to have to remove our differences. He's apparently he says he's a Christian conservative writing a book, now making friends with atheists who he would never have talked to before. And now everybody with a critical brain is seeing we're all under attack. So I'm offering a link. I'm not going to describe it too much more than to say it probably benefit us to hear other minds, people that when the author goes around the world, he goes to people that have lived in socialist countries. They are warning us through his book he's promoting. They are warning us that they see the signs of our demise already. They see the signs of the demise that they left from. We've heard this story before. But this is not a joke and not just some idea coming to happen in some future time. We've already been through it. We're already into it. And we have a short time that I've been talking about. This may be the real prepper, but the prepper time here is our mutual defense pacts. Finding everybody that we can trust to start working. And you're not working just to defend yourself. You're working to move this thing through, to make it through the other side, to be the influence, the example of what has to happen. You grab the best of what we have, and I've told you this a long time ago, we're going to have to persevere through, and we're going to be the only example left if we have the chance. And so I found this, I did listen through this whole interview. I thought they made some very good points. I guess I would be a hypocrite to not agree that I've been saying the same thing essentially. I want you to understand this is serious. You better start gearing up. You're going to be self-reliant, but you're going to do it in mutual aid of each other because we can't do it on our own. And this thing is too separated and segregated, and it was undone on purpose for us to think that we are going to be able to stand alone. Oh, I get to do so much. On top of the fact we don't know the timing. They could just wait us out. You watch how incremental everything's been coming. I've been talking about this for 10 years. We're now seeing the implementation of things I told you. The modernization acts are being implemented. I told you this would be a long time coming. You got enough food now for 15 years. You see how this works? And they're not done yet. So, totalitarianism is in America. They explain how it is. They explain this incursion. I've been explaining what we can start to do to push back. It's not just turtling up into little enclaves either. We're really going to have a before this thing hits in earnest, we have time to organize ourselves. And we better think about doing that. And I don't know what to say. I get feeling like I got to get quiet because I can't tell you all what to do. I can't even solve all the problems myself. In fact, the author says he recognizes a failure in him, and he may not, because he's an author and he's away from everybody anyway. He's like a recluse in his writings and all this other stuff. He doesn't get out much. He's seeing the problem of not having the interaction with people that he's now developing through the internet, even though it's far away, in the mutual idea of mutuality in protection that he has to develop locally. And so this is a whole process here that I want to advance. They gave me, if I listen to it, I see two more people thinking about it. You can hear the differences in belief systems and the foundation of beliefs, but there's a common thought that we're walking into a real problem that we are going to have to persevere through, and we're going to have them set up in our situation, wherever we are, however that is, a condition that we will allow us to get us through, where everybody's falling apart, insanity starting to rule. We have to be the calm in that storm, and we have to address how that's going to work. Find our allies today before we can't. They're going to tell you how this control, how this censorship, how all this information comes with the propaganda, how it works to defeat people. Okay, so it's not different than what I've been saying. It's a different, a more comprehensive concept. We're not, those of us that think this way, I don't know these guys, but there they are. They're thinking the same in similar ways. Can't say the same. We don't know what the same is, but very similar. We all have a very similar concepting of what we expect from ourselves and from others if we are going to live in a society, wherever that is, that we can feel at peace and be able to do things that we want to do without all this other nonsense. But again, to me, it's just this is the culmination of a group of people that have worked a long time to oppress people, and they're getting their way because they know you better than yourself. And I've got a link somewhere down the line that someone else has now said that right in the heart of the beast, if you will. But I won't get there quite yet. The good and the bad and the ugly of Supreme Court vaccine mandates opinion. They had a decision apparently with the OSHA mandates, the Biden mandates. And the good, Supreme Court holds vaccine mandate for businesses illegal. And the parenthetical statement by the author, Michael Bolden, is, we absolutely got to take a win when we can get it. Well, absolutely, but is this really a win when you read this through? He goes, the good is that the vaccine mandate for businesses is illegal. The bad, the opinion absolutely leaves room for another mandate tailored differently. And that's where I jump in. That's exactly right, but then the author doesn't understand how to go through what the condition is, that the federal government hasn't the local authority in order to do anything with mitigation side. And that's where this big disconnect happens in what law requires and what the Supreme Court has just offered and allowed by not shutting the door. And the only way I know to shut the door for you is for you, each one of us, to assert your local state laws are not being followed. And until they are, there is no jurisdiction or authority in anyone, whether it be that the government, a government employee, an agent, a third-party licensee, or employer, to insist on anything. What I'm asking for the people of the United States, because I know that a little better, is Title 29 allows you to set up your record to show retaliation. That's at least a cause out instead of being left holding a bag and being violated and letting them get their way. We're in a war. This is not given, because we're righteous and all we think we are free that we win. No, there's someone coming to steal that. So the bad, the absolutely leaves room for another mandate. Well, had they done the law, there can be none because the federal government and OSHA have no authority. I even showed you inside the state and OSHA, state OSHA, which is really federal. Remember, every time federal funds are used to do anything, the federal law prevails, except for against grants. That's going to rule. And so that is a backhanded way to try and insinuate itself, the foreign jurisdiction into your states. And that is a violation of the separation of the states that was supposed to be maintained. There's a way at this. No one's talking about it. As I've said, the International Health Agreement that was signed in 2005, I think it was, the United States government said, we don't have authority, it's in the states. That's the reservation in that agreement, the international agreement. I've talked about all this. You didn't hear any of that come out of this case. And this is where the attorneys, which every one of these justices, so-called, are. So the good is businesses can't be made to mandate illegal, and that's right, because they have to show necessity for each employee. Now, bad, the opinion leaves the room for another mandate. Yes, because they didn't definitively state the federal government has zero authority over the local health laws and how they're implemented. And then the ugly, the court believes the feds have power to pass OSH Act in the first place to get deeply involved in health care. That's more to the point. And then he goes on to say it's important to understand the Supreme Court opinion today is largely based on the argument that Congress didn't expressly authorize the vaccine mandate in the OSHA Act in 1970, which is true, and that's another problem. The Congress never had the power. That was reserved to the people, wasn't it? You didn't hear any of that come out of the Supreme Court case. And this is where the attorneys are violating you. The bar members are violating you under color of doing law. No law is actually asserted. In fact, I've been so embroiled in our petition. The comment repeatedly back to me is, where are the lawyers? Where are the attorneys? When we see so much law that's being violated, why isn't there one attorney that will state that? Why isn't there one official that will recognize it? Yeah, it's not even a question. It's because of a condition, and it's lawlessness that comes under the color of government. All these institutions are done, and we allowed them to be done. It's maladministration on its face. COVID gave us the direct answer to how we could show fraud without even a blink, and we're not doing it. And we let these bar members come in and do these arguments, and I'm really trying to figure out, well, how do you speak to this? There was a thought about maybe doing a letter maybe to the Supreme Court, although I don't know. I don't know. These people are pretty cloistered. It's pretty protective. And then I'm all by myself thinking about this stuff. I don't have anything to bounce off. And I'm involved in this other position, which is I have to get done. We have to protect ourselves locally. That all, as I said, when you're in your own little battle, all these other things become irrelevant. And yet they're going on to oppress us. So it's going to take all of us who have the time and freedom to do certain things and educate ourselves on how we can address it. And just start pounding on the doors and hopefully pound so hard you push the door in and keep, you know, doing it correctly to keep them on their toes and push them back into the box that they were supposed to be in. So I think I'll stop there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The mandates were cut, but they left open the door that maybe they could actually make another rule to do so. The only thing I know to stop that would be to explain that to these Supreme Court justices that was not a complete statement. They're causing an extended harm on the nation, and that here's how. The states have reserved power for health issues. The OSHA has no authority, and they should have said that. And they should have then chastised the states for not demonstrating a non-fraudulent agency, accepting what China scientists in China told them, and never, never complying with due process in each state. And until that goes on, nothing is really supposed to move forward, and they should have ordered everything to stop. That could be a letter you could send to them. And when you send it, make sure that there's a certain justice that's assigned to your district. You don't think that's a military district? And you can communicate directly to that Supreme Court justice in that manner. But don't talk your opinion. Show all the statutes, black and white, copy and paste. What they said, what they left open was not law, and it will not settle things. And because it didn't settle it, it'll cause continuing irreparable harm. That decision needs to be revisited. It's a private reconsideration. Just do it. Don't argue. Just write them, even if you think it's not going to do anything. Build the case against them and show the maladministration they are causing to harm us. Stop being quiet. Stop being thinking that if you sit in your little foxhole that you're going to be safe. You're not. The enemy overruns us. And here we have it. Biden deploys U.S. military medical teams to 6 states with overwhelmed hospitals. Same nonsense story. Same bad reaction. This is the mitigation side to something they haven't shown, demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency for. And that means that we don't know, if there is something, we don't know the truth of it. That's the thing that kind of terrifies me a bit. What's really out there that I'm hearing people around? No, not COVID. That's symptoms. No, people are getting taken down, and it sounds like more like it's a flu. They need to know that. And then those are the people that have parasites. They need to know that so they can get rid of those parasites. And those are with comorbidities that are actually susceptible to this by 4 to 1. I mean, they have 4 comorbidities and maybe don't know it. that are really susceptible, and then the mitigation harms them. All that needs to be addressed, but it won't be until someone steps up and says, all your mitigation's fraud until you identify what we're fighting. And you haven't. So Biden deploys U.S. military team. Why didn't he deploy military logistics when we had the so-called supply chains break, as I told you? Why didn't he do that? Why do they insist on doing something that they have no clue over? What's the military involved with all this time? Well, because they're involved. I've told you this. This is nothing even new. To me, this is just water in the bridge nonsense that continues that no one stops. Where has anybody went to their adjutant general in their state to declare, to demand that they investigate, at least do the investigation, and they tell you how the official, the governor or the local official demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency that you show that this is a state security risk that they were supposed to stop? Where's a contingent of you, some of you folks, jumping on the military side of this? See, there is military out there that's going to resist, but they have to understand what the law is that they can resist under. I don't think anybody knows that, except maybe me. And I don't want to exalt myself too high. But you understand I'm the only one talking about this stuff this way. Biden deploys U.S. military medical teams to 6 states with overwhelmed hospitals. For what? For a fraud. For a wrong case definition within the state. Just go right to what the definition of cases for the state requires a medical report. Where is the medical report with the objective determination of the infectious agent? Where? None exist across the world. No jurisdiction has developed it. So this is how inept or corrupt this president is. I mean, how much more do I have to say? This is just not correct. And it has to do with fraud. And if you run in equity, we're not supposed to be suffering fraud at all. It's not supposed to even get the light. It's not even supposed to see a peep of the light of day, fraud. And we've been drowning in it right now. So, military is continuously involved. We're going to find that again. They know about this stuff. It's not unknown. They're not moving. No one's forcing the question on them like you should force on every official about this. I don't care where you are. There's some official taking the bribe fraudulently on a fraudulent issue without demonstrating the non-fraudulent exigency. That everybody that asserts any idea of an authority to impose on any one of us has to answer for before they have the right to even make the suggestion, which is not the end-all be-all, because then you understood, as I talked about that broadcast, what happens within the process of the demanding of the necessity and the demanding of how the employer is financially harmed and demanding where someone healthy would be a problem to other employees. That's the first 3 steps. Upon demanding all that, then you still have more, but there's a process for that. When they answer you, you get to challenge it. And then even if they win, they actually show all that, you still have a say. And that's then when these exemptions, medical or religious, come in. So when you file the medical exemption, you've conceded all of that terrain in the battle to the employer to come right being at your door, knocking at your employment door. And they had never a right to be there, or the government, or the local official. No, instead they're going to deploy the medical teams into the states, and they're going to continue the fraud, and they're done it. This is all fraud, waste, and abuse. You want to do some of those? I've told you all this before. I'm just going to repeat myself. But anyway, let's move on here. Medical teams, bad reaction, bad response to a fraud. It just seems self-evident to me why everybody just takes it. I don't understand. And then why when some, I guess it's my frustration, and why you don't see me producing too much paperwork. Why when I do hand out the paperwork that looks like it all comports to the law, why so far everyone has mishandled that. It's not a joke when I say, and I don't mean an insult to anyone, when I say the stuff I do, I hand to people, is like a loaded gun. And what they tend to want to do with that is shoot themselves in the foot, or they shoot the cat in the room, they mishandle the gun I handed them. And they're supposed to be grown-up people that have been charged by the system that's coming against them with capacity, knowledge, of capability, lack of ignorance, all that. And it's just it's a scary thing, actually. And I don't know. I'm just sitting here. I always wonder. I start to get wondering, why do I talk so long and much to try and get people to do something that they're maybe it's not in them anymore? And that's another aspect you're going to find out about the totalitarianism in that conversation. They talk about this historically, not just because it's their opinion about this. They show in other governments in other times how people were taken down. They explain it. And I say, listen to that and then take notes. And then turn yourself around and say, I've got some work to do locally. We've got to create a mutual defense pact like we just saw Russia use to defend a country against a usurpacious Western foreign enemy government. And I'm saying that government is the same one coming after you. Take heed. Surveillance tech that uses AI to track social distancing and mask wearing in workplace raises serious concerns. I always find the title somewhat humorous a bit. You think, folks? Workplaces are eager to avoid the spread of coronavirus and are equipping their security cameras with AI software that can track their workers' compliance with health guidelines, which includes wearing a mask and social distancing. The software is deemed to be quite crucial with COVID-19 is on a rampage all around the world. The surveillance technology allows the company to showcase how they are monitoring their workers and enforcing mandates. I'm going to stop reading. You can read the story, get the tab, read it. You see the companies that are involved. You see what they're doing. I'm telling you, and I've suggested over and repeatedly for 2 years going on now, well, we're right there, aren't we? You have to go to the black and white that says and shows the burden is on them to show their necessity for them to do any of that. Workers' compliance with health guidelines can't be instituted if they haven't demonstrated in a record, and this required multiple hearings and meetings, if you understood what I said in those two broadcasts back when, I don't even know when they were, that those health guidelines come at a negotiation table. Once they show compliance with the law for necessity, financial hardship, and interference with employees. My bottom line question for that is, how does a healthy employee cause contention within the employee base? But security cameras and AI software are now insinuating themselves under a presumption that that's right to do on everyone. Because everyone's confused about what's going on instead of focusing on the simple letter. If I could get it down to the simplest thing would be, my mind just kind of triggered over to the OSHA website where it talks about what's the burdens of the employer. There's a list of three bullet points. The very first one, what's the business necessity? First request of the when you start seeing this coming down is, what's the business's necessity for doing anything in this regard? Get yourself on the record to say you haven't demonstrated a non-fraudulent necessity. What's your non-fraudulent necessity? Do you see how adding non-fraudulent opens the door for you? And if you don't, you haven't even understood the mitigation side errors yet, which are somewhat irrelevant, except that, it's not a mitigation measure. It's the fraudulent purported test, and there is no test. That would be what they're going to claim. They're going to say, what do you mean? It's COVID. Well, COVID's just, that's only coronavirus. That's seasonal. If you picked up on the first part, workplaces are eager to avoid the spread of coronavirus. That's the seasonal common cold. There is no authority anywhere to do a mitigation of the seasonal common cold. Like there is nothing they can do with the C influenza. It's not pandemic level and can't be made one. So COVID is typically coronavirus. COVID-19 pandemic is attached to pandemic, is symptom pandemic without specificity. But the law requires both the business and the government and public health official to demonstrate a non-fraudulent infectious agent. And typically that's going to be biological. And I'm going to halt right there because there's another angle to that. what you get out, you show it's a man-made disaster that's going on, and it's these pharmaceutical companies that are causing it, but you can't get to the first step. You got to take the second step to get there. The first step is, where's your non-fraudulent exigency? Where's your non-fraudulent demonstration of the actual infectious agent? And they come back and say it's SARS-CoV-2, and then you just produce and say, but there is no test. And now you have the proof of that, because that's what, now some of you know that what I've been saying for a year, 2 years. There is no test. They've withdrawn it. They claim another one. That doesn't do it either, because why? There's no isolate. And you write back your negotiation letter, well, you produce a fraudulent reason, because that's not true. And you haven't shown where I'm the vector. I'm the infectious principal. And if you understand what I'm saying, this is simply dialogue with an employer that probably wants to fire you or put all this control on you anyway. Then why would you want to live with that? And some of you aren't. You walk away, but that makes a different type of problem. And right now, this may not be the time to put yourself in any financial or monetary disadvantage. I'll tell you that right now is what's coming up. Let me just move on. Here we have the threat. Surveillance tech that uses AI to track social distancing and mask wearing in workplaces raises serious concerns. And I'm saying, what? When they imposed this whole thing without demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency, that wasn't a serious concern? Why are we talking so far down the path of destruction and oppression and totalitarianism relative to raising concerns on AI and cameras in the workplace when we should have been talking about, wait a minute, what's the necessity for all this? As we hear this other nonsense, but they're coming on, they're going to bring it on, they're now making it law, just like I told you they would. They start from the agency side, and then they get the incidents, the information to get enough to start making law. And I said before, you have to make the law to make yourself free. They're going to make the law that's going to pin you down. Senate bill would require states to mandate voter ID along with vaccine passport. As lawmakers in DMV, consider mandating vaccine passports. A new Senate bill will require them to also make voters prove who they are when they vote. So, to me, voting is irrelevant in one regard, completely, because when you understand that the voter registration card is actually a federal district residence card, admission, and subjecting you to different status, you realize that the vote is actually used to cause a servitude in you. And so, for me, a long time ago, that was done away with. And then we have voter ID. Well, ID is what? It ends up being, this is all commerce, because the voter ID ends up being state ID. And that's all in commerce. All right? So, I don't even know where we go with that. This is now pressing. To me, this is kind of exciting, because I see that anybody who's really critically thinking about this almost sees the opening door to the walk out of this prison. Because all of these requirements all stem back through certain things that have to be done, certain things you have to give them that to produce before they can give it to you, that if you knew you could tell them you don't have any of that and they couldn't issue, now you've established that you're either being discriminated against, and I would say maybe by creed, go find that one, they don't use that too much, or by the facts of your life aren't conducive to commercial imposition. And you understand about that. Now you're starting to see how you're going to have to, you can start pairing off what is allowed to you separate from the state and what it's constrained to do and what it gets you to do that you know to stay away from. Voter ID is residency and it's in commerce. It's tied to your commercial ID, which is your driver's license, and your IDs in the state all issue out of the motor vehicle code, which is all commerce. And you start picking up on this real fast, you're going to start understanding this was and is the thing you can use to separate yourself. Is it going to be easy? No. Are they going to recognize it? Absolutely not. They don't want a slave escaping. And I can't get into it too deep. I touched on it a little bit. If you understand what I start saying, you start applying it, it's the problem the government has right now while they're trying to hunt us down instead of doing due process in the forest, in our forest problem. They have a problem. It's not a guarantee to us. We're at risk. But we're having a whole bunch of insight as to what's going on. We have buffers that they just don't descend on us. And we have every avoidance sitting there to use. And again, when the government goes rogue, it won't matter. When you meet up with an enemy soldier, it won't matter. It'll depend on whether they want to shoot you, harm you, or take you prisoner. Or just decide you're a good guy and let you go. Right? This is war. And so, I don't get all uppity about that and paranoid, but I respond as if it were. And you've got to keep distance. This voter ID requires you have a driver's license, which is in commerce. The passport. What do you think passport means? It's in commerce. Passport. Commercial port. In a free country. Are you kidding me? Where they haven't demonstrated the need. And they can't on a universal level. Now, we take this stuff. And these so-called lawmakers are actually policymakers. No one talks about that, but these lawmakers are going to come after you and require all this before you can have a life. If you don't think it, your social credit's coming up and you're not going to have a life if you don't have the right points. And you're going to hear about that totalitarianism conversation in that video. You're going to hear them talk about how that works and how prior socialist societies did that to their people, how they mentally disperse people. Since you feel you have distance and separation. Why I've been telling you mutual help is you can't do that. You have to do that at what they call arm's length friends, that you have to get involved with people. You destroy, that neutralizes that need for those that know you better than yourself to atomize you, they'll say. Senate bill would require states to mandate voter ID. Okay, if you're still a voter, you don't understand the problem. And then with a vaccine passport, if you're not getting that voter ID, that voter registration, you're not having to get the passport, are you? No, you think you have a need to do this, and so you just go along. Those of you that know not to, then I'm saying you're maybe not doing it quite correctly. As I've shown you before, you can't just deny the jurisdiction. You have to show that by the way they understand how you're not there and you're somewhere else. And it's there in the statute to do so. It's very difficult to get at, but it's not so hard difficult to get at. It's difficult to stay away from all the leashes and the hooks. Anyway, I gotta be careful on this stuff. This is dangerous territory. It gets people in the wrong place. So here we have the legislation and the idea of Republican Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. So underneath the auspices of we have to have voter ID and get in the woke side and all that nonsense, the Republicans come up and say you have to have voter ID and vaccine passport. Not one of these people can show where anybody has demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency or the infectious agent in an infectious principle. The principal is the wrongdoer in federal law. But North Dakota, that's the same state that immediately got drone guns legislated into being. Drone carrying guns. Guns carried by drones for police enforcement. If you think Republicans in that state are helping you. Anyway, you got to stop on all this stuff. Really irritates me just to watch how it happens. And then I also, some of my irritation is just us not responding, not thinking that's a surprise. And so how is North Dakota so different than South Dakota? I don't know that it really is, except for that people in power aren't as oppressive. They're not oppressive because they haven't identified. Again, that governor in South Dakota has every power to come out, like DeSantis does in Florida. We haven't found anything. What the heck are you talking about? Mandates for what? If you understand how simple this is all, and why I think it's just going to take a bunch of people talking about it and becoming the social media event I think it should become, instead of everything else and whining about how all the stuff that's going on and thinking that the little crumbs they throw us is some victory. Just want to get high or no? Cannabis compounds prevent COVID infections, study says. Well, coronavirus infections? You mean the common cold? It could have cured the common cold all this time? There was not supposed to be a cure for common cold. But just want to get high or no? Cannabis compounds prevent COVID infections, study says. I won't even talk about much about how this works. This is actually a physiological place. They want to talk about the spike protein and receptors. Well, there's a cannabis, if you will, cannabis receptor. This is all physiological. This is all chemical, right? It's not biology. And so instead of a Senate bill that requires these vaccination passport and commercial IDs and commercial nexus to the federal government, the municipal government under Title 42, 1981, which is what? Exactions of every kind. The government, if they was doing objective basis, we're trying to help the people, would have used his cannabis compounds prior and not tried to vilify them or legalize them like they were. And I told you on record I didn't like what I was seeing. They were going to use them against you, and they are now. We got local county commissioners using the confiscation part of the Legalization of Marijuana Act to try and confiscate all property. As I said, it was going to happen. And so, I don't know what to say. I just look at this stuff here. It's on the writing on the wall. Where are we to stop it? It's there to be stopped. The COVID-19 pandemic shows no signs. It's not COVID. COVID's coronavirus, if we go by the name. COVID-19 pandemic is this thing that they're foisting on us that they haven't identified. It shows no signs of abating. Why would it? They have no basis and definition for it. It shows no signs of abating, with global death toll already standing at 5.5 million amid the spread of the new moronic variant. Oh, it says Omicron. See, our whole psyche is if this thing exists. No one ever, none of these writers ever stopped to say, let me go prove that. Let me go to the black and white and prove what is supposed to be where I live. I don't care what the WHO, not the rock group, the owl or the little people, in Whoville. No, the World Health Organization. I don't care what they say. Why? Especially the United States. We have a reservation. The United States government, supposed to be the shield to all this international stuff, has turned around and said, no, the states have reserved that health power to themselves. So we cannot say anything relative to that. Cannabis compounds can combat infections caused by coronavirus, a new study claims. Okay, it can do lots. This is where I started to really turn. It's, to me, it developed itself into just another herb tool medicine if you need it. A lot of people just kind of abused it or use it as an escape. I'm not into all that. Never have been. Just didn't see the efficacy. But then I started to watch how people could use it to actually help them get past the propaganda of government, which is sitting there to cause control. The war on drugs, right? It's all control. Give themselves, insinuate authorities that actually shouldn't exist, and we allow it. Over the courts that will continue to allow it. So our systems actually have receptors for cannabinoids. I mean, this is fascinating to me. And so, if you need it, I see, like anything, like any plant in the world, it may be strong medicine, and you may have to really be paying attention, but it's medicine nonetheless, no matter what the government says. And so we just have another confirmation that there is tools out there and they're natural. And I guess I'll just stop right there. I mean, this is just repeating what we've broadcast on RLM, and different broadcasters have always brought out. And anybody who's been involved with RLM understands about all this. But let me offer something else. That's also mitigation side. That's for you to know, to look at what it does. I don't even know that it actually does that. This is a study. You'd have to look at it. It says, the cannabinoids block cellular entry of SARS-CoV-2 and the emerging variants. It's a fraud. So be careful. Here I'm promoting it in a way. Here, look, they got cannabis. It'll do this. You know, you have your cannabinoid receptors, all this stuff. Yeah, it does a lot. But then the report talks about SARS-CoV-2. That's a fraud. Or... And I would have to ask the people who wrote that, are you talking about the chemical weapon given the name SARS-CoV-2 that was patented by the CDC as SARS-CoV? Now you're saying something different. If you're identifying SARS-CoV-2 as the novel, invented, man-made chemical weapon, then you're talking the cannabinoids actually are blocking they're a chemical attack, neutralizer. Probably because they go in and they attach to all the receptors that this chemical weapon would come in and attack. The chemical weapon being a spike protein, not a biologic organism. So cannabinoids block cellular entry into SARS-CoV-2. I'm assuming, and I presume, maybe wrongly, that they're talking about it like it's something real. If they're talking about the invented chemical weapon, then you're just seeing cannabinoids are a chemical neutralizer against a chemical weapon. I don't think they're doing that. So I'm going to say this report's fraud because it tried to aid and abet the existence of SARS-CoV-2 as an infectious agent, as a biological infectious agent. Anyway, there it is. There's more help, more fact that we can see. If you needed a study, if you didn't go out and engage nature and what she has to offer us for yourself. if you're looking for another alternative in the hysteria and insanity that's going on, that study would be a potential mitigation measure once the employer or the government produces the non-fraudulent exigency that you're causing a statewide or a business-wide financial problem or hardship in some regard for the state to be the hospitals, for the government, for the business, it's financial, and how you, as a healthy, someone who's healthy, can possibly cause a problem to the public. Once you get past that, then you say, well, I'm going to try this cannabis. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. My doctor says I can do. My doctor says I can do that. Because who? Why? Because the law requires that your doctor has exclusive jurisdiction over your care, and you have say in that. And all that doctor can do is say, here's what we have available. And if he doesn't say a broad enough spectrum, you can bring more in. Nothing was supposed to be so violent as we're seeing here either. Oh, yes, there's some things that come through that are really need to be handled. But those are obvious. Those aren't presumed. Those aren't made up. And those are dealt with like an emergency is to watch really quickly, contain the fire, get it under control, and then we look and see how much we can back off a little bit if we need to. But it's not as we see becoming an arsonist in the forest of people and start lighting fires by jabbing them with the very weapon that is causing the problem. Moving on now to, again, thank you. Oh, thank you to the emailer that sent me in. I did read the email somewhat. I like to answer intelligently with some thought. I haven't had the time to do that, but some information came my way again, maybe on the heels of what I was talking about last week with Ice Age Farmer. I really, again, another link from him. I really don't spend the time. I think it's Christian. He's really doing a good job in my mind, really pulling some stuff together. He said it again. I don't have a time to go over and talk with him, so the emailer sent me this. I thought it was very important to find out how, and again, this whole condition is pretty interesting, how they're moving you right into where they want us to go. And none of us are kicking and screaming even. DARPA funds Soylent Green as empty shelves in USA. Hashtag bare shelves Biden and trends. Is DARPA funds Soylent Green as empty shelves in USA? So the interesting part here is he doesn't say in the video, video may not be available anymore. It's gone. And it's gone. But you have to go find him. Go to the link I sent you to Ice Age Farmer. Right now it's on his front page, but I'm going to send you two more links to the particular articles. He's on maybe BitChute, I think, and maybe Odyssey. So go there to listen to what he's saying. He shows you the documents, what I don't do on this broadcast, like that Sound Minds will. On his broadcast, but not today. He's had to do, he'll do a live tomorrow, taking the links, and he just shows you on the screen if you need something eye candy about what I'm talking about. You can read it yourself quickly, but you should get the documents to read yourself. Christian does an article here, a discussion showing you the sources. He highlights food waste material, and you can almost hear him say waste material is people too. As this is the Soylent Green aspect, that the DARPA is funding and looking into taking all waste material to make them palatable micronutrition in times when traditional food is not available. And I just have to tell you the chill that just strikes me that he points out in there, that just strikes me when you look at those words and you realize they are taking out your traditional food. You're allowing it. Now, what can we do on a mass scale? We can't. We need to start focusing on the fact that they are planning to take out traditional foods while you see something burger showing up. Remember what that is. That's soybeans, and those are genetically altered on top of it. A particular new protein venom extracted that they've designed to be food. Remember, those burgers are a certain type of protein, no different than the spike protein. This is the type of food they're making. And the micronutrients is when they take all this waste material, and possibly you too, when you are choosing euthanasia, to grind you up and make you palatable for all the rest of the herd. DARPA is funding the creation of 3D printed food from mixed waste to serve when traditional food is unavailable. That's a plan, folks. And I think this is where I get now, Christian, is understanding that they're telling us the plan. This is not just some idea, some sci-fi thing that's going on. No, this is the plan. When there's traditional food is unavailable. Why, folks? Watch, look around you. And I'm going to have, I found another article that is even more impressive about how they build this in people, how they build this terror in people. When you can't get your food, what are you going to do? When they've interfered, plausibly enough, though life, though in fraud, with your food and traditional food is gone, you're going to be begging for anything that they can hand you. Mixed waste could be people too, folks. And so I kind of agree. It's not really soily green like the movie, but getting closer, isn't it? The food supply chain is buckling under the pressure of mandates and quarantines, and nobody has asked how. Where's the infectious agent here? Not the fraudulent one that you're promoting. No, I want the one that's non-fraudulent. How? How is this happening? And yet it is. What is the agenda behind the engineered shortage? Find out at the Ice Age Farmer broadcast and listen to what he says. I offer this. Thank you for the emailer. In 15 minutes, he shows you the plan right there. And I want to back this up with, you see that this is not just about storing food, folks. As I'm telling you, this is not just about being the prepper. I have 15 years of food. This is about setting up mutual defense systems in all aspects of your life with people you can trust. You hope, because things change. People go weak. This is a very difficult part. They have everybody psychologically atomized. And when the pressure comes down, people break. You watched over half the population break almost immediately. At any rate, so DARPA funds Soylent Green for empty shelves in the time when traditional food is unavailable. In a time when you, in a place when you thought that the breadbasket was aplenty, the cornucopia was full. Don't underestimate when I was telling you the reports that says we can't get a bin from one part of the country to an agricultural spot to another spot to manufacture, let alone get it to a ship onto a place. And as China closes its ports off, this is a bigger thing going on. So, DARPA funds Soylent Green. Mixed waste to be palatable micronutrition, as you'll see him say. Just stunning, stunning, stunning. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say enough to get you folks pay attention on this one. Moving into another story I found just below that, you'll get a link. UK, we're in the, across the pond from us. Apocalyptic bird flu jumps to humans as authorities cull millions of birds. Where have we heard this before? All right, zoonotic transmission. They try to make a big deal about it, but it's actually very difficult. And the only thing that, the only way they can is when they've gone and they've messed with the, if there's a biological agent, they've messed with it. What they did with COVID is they found the chemical constituent that caused the reaction. And they've done that. If they have a biological unit, they try to claim it's zoonotic transmission, like they tried to blame the bats, and we found out that it's not, because they have to try and find a natural source, otherwise they can't hide their Title 50 violation prohibition against biological weapons. And so we are coming back. The pig's fly flu was there. Now we're getting bird flu. There's just endless disease coming right on the heels of all this. Zoonotic transmission of apocalyptic bird flu. H5N1 has been reported in UK boasting a 50% fatality rate for humans. Really? At any rate, that's the news. If you don't think that they're going to have anybody who's already got a ring in their nose, they have them pegged. And what this will start to do. However, digging deeper reveals the asymptomatic patient zero was tested constantly until returning the result false positives. They just keep pounding on it. They finally got what they were looking for. The authorities need to justify an ongoing culling of tens of millions of birds to claim that you cannot be allowed to raise your own food and to feed your family. This is coming off of the Ice Age Farmer statement, which he's always been on. I understand him since I've known of him for a few years now, just of him. He's been about the food, Ice Age. Here comes the Ice Age. Better prepare for it. Produce your food locally. And so this is the big scare threat. They're killing off your food under endless diseases on things that are actually shouldn't be able to happen so easily. I did it. I did say that, Vince. It slipped out very easily. Good to hear you're doing real well, too. Continue to do that. But meanwhile, Australian grocers are rationing meat as asymptomatic workers are kept from the work from working, resulting in abattoirs shutting down in Australia. And so, they're taking away your food under the color of something that can't exist and they haven't shown to exist. You people are allowing them to starve you out, no matter where you live. I'll stop here. But now they've got another bird flu coming, endless diseases. I told you, now it's 50% fatality rate for humans. And then we're finding out they don't really have any tests, and that it's really zoonotic transmission is really difficult. And unless there's a military biolab making this stuff up to make it so. And here's, let me get a, well, what do I do on this? Let me just throw out one little quick thing. They have to, remember, they have to show a benefit for these things, otherwise Title 50 would say that they're prohibited. And this is the big dance that's going on between Fauci and Rand Paul and some others in misfocusing on this gain of function. It has to be gain of function. They have to get it under Title 50 because there's no way a spike protein invented on its own had any beneficial use. So as most people are now looking into it have seen, they invented the cause, they then threatened to that was going to hurt everybody, that they can then use that in order to say it had a beneficial use against what they created. Stupid insanity. And everyone's going, okay, yeah, okay, I guess so. Anyway, apocalyptic bird flu. Zoonotic transmission is very difficult, as I understand it. And so, it, to my mind, if it's happening, you're looking at chimeric conditions and or a synthetic flu that is actually invented, again, man-made. It's a man-made disaster, not a natural one. And so we hear the same, you just replace birds with bats, right? Eye of newt, wing of bat, and the witch's cauldron, and here we have it. We have something we made up and everyone believes it. It's the spell put on everybody, and no one says, wait, hold it, whoa. Brace yourself. The mother of all supply chain shocks is coming as China shuts down major ports due to pandemic. What Ice Age, what Christian and Ice Age Farmer is showing you, it doesn't even touch this story relative to the China ports themselves being shut down at all. In part, I'm wondering what's the big story in a way, since a lot of food comes from the south if we're going into winter. So let's not, this is a serious problem. I don't want to diminish it, but understand that there's not, that we still can get food from other places. What there may be is the overarching fraud that keeps people thinking they're sick or businesses thinking that they got to keep people from working that interferes with our system, our transmission system for food. Remember, when they globalized everything, they also hurt us in a way because now you're dependent upon that chain. We lose the memory of creating our own for ourselves when problems happen. The kumbaya utopia we seem to hold in our mind like it's going to go on forever. And you'll, again, this authoritarian interview that I'm asking you to listen to, they will show you again and again and again, nothing is permanent. Whatever your desires are, people really seem to be too disassociated with their own societies in order to keep them solid. How China has done it, and I don't know China's, maybe I'm remiss to say, but you know, we hear the society so-called China been for 5,000 years is quite the feat. But you have to look and see all the authoritarian, totalitarian corruption that goes on in order to get that. Is not a better way either. Brace yourself, the mother of all supply chains is coming due to China shuts down. Think about what we would get. I'm already complaining about can't get basic, simple stuff because it is affecting things. Can't go down to the local store and find stuff. May not be necessity. It may be something, well, it is in a way. I don't really deal it above a necessity. But I have to make do. I have to make up stuff. Kind of get inventive. I don't sometimes like doing that. It's a lot shorter return when you have to do that, but things are not available. It's apparently going to get worse. As if there isn't enough bad economic news, the War Room opened their first hour of Friday warning viewers of the coming mother of all supply chain shocks. Written from Zero Hedge. The coming Biden crisis was reported at Zero Hedge and explaining how China, the central hub of our supply chain, is now starting to lock down their ports, trying to, because they have a COVID zero policy. And so they're not, that country's not above, well, they instigated it. And they, I still think they're laughing. How in fact, did the United States government accept our story that we had something at all? And all it was the transmission. You'll see, you go to get on, I did some research yesterday. You'll see the story on how it all worked out, how they sent out the information. China didn't do anything. They just sent out a news flash, what they thought their scientists said this was, and everyone picked it up and just ran with it. And never, no, I said not one jurisdiction challenged that at all. In violation of all law, if you thought you lived under any law. If you think the government's bad, no, it's just because there's no government that's actually functioning the way it was written, and no one's stepping up. But again, China is interfering based in the zero policy. If it's a fraud here, then it's a fraud in Kazakhstan and Australia. It's a fraud in China, and you watch the government's doing it. They don't care about hurting people. It's like a lost leader. They'll take losses. They don't care if part of their, we already read it. I already reported on it. They don't care that half of their population gets taken out. If it means they can come and survive the politics, the political regime can survive, and maybe even if that means they can take over another place. Remember, they got a pretty small place that a lot of those people live as well. And so they've got a whole different mentality going on than I probably can even conceive. They're willing to shut down their ports on a zero COVID policy on what anybody who looks into it can see as a fraud. So they're shutting out the whole world as well. There's a pretty serious play going on. Beyond all that, I kind of intimated to this, the heat or eat, Britain's soaring energy bills. 5 months into an energy crisis in the UK, and controversial blog post by one of the country's major energy suppliers have prompted a wave of outrage. It comes as an average household face a sharp rise in their energy bills starting in spring, coupled with rising taxes and stalling wages. Yeah, that's a plan, folks. So you in UK, the story says that you're paying about $1,700, I think the numbers were $1,700 a year for power. It's going to jump over $1,000 above that. And it's heart-wrenching a bit if you watch the people who they interviewed. Certainly going to be taking out the poor and the ones that are already having trouble. The real outrage, it wasn't the outrage against the raising of this or the government's inaction to get infrastructure in to produce more power. It was more the fact of what the CEO, how disrespectful he is of people. You can really hear the global attitude in it. You're just going to have to put up with it. And they had a whole campaign about if you want to keep warm, put on more layers. Do jumping jacks. Get a pet. But right at the same time, the Pope is saying, well, if you get a pet and you don't have kids, then you're doing things wrong. You're selfish. Anyway, get a pet. Keep yourself warm, folks. This is how cold these folks are. Maybe a pun intended there. The company's founder said, if you want to keep warm this winter and can't afford to keep your heating on, wear extra layers, do jumps, and hug your pet for warmth. If you have one, and that is 3 of the 10 recommendations from British third largest energy supplier to British households. The company's founder has since apologized. Don't forget all that. He said it in the first place. What I found interesting is the ads were going out. The promotion was keep relative to this energy is jump. And that has another connotation. Like, well, if you don't like, you can't keep up with all this, then just jump. You can, or do jumps. If you want to keep warm, do jumps. If you can't keep up impliedly, then jump. In other words, commit suicide on them. This is really the message that's coming through this. So, what I was talking about, energy, modernization of energy, they say this is all to bring in the new energy system and is tied to sustainable energy. Okay, it's all right here if you understood what's going on. What they're doing a little bit more intelligently than Kazakhstan is they're waiting to spring this nonsense on people. They claim you're not paying enough for your power. To my mind, that means that the Queen wasn't going fast enough to stay ahead of the supply to make infrastructure, that wouldn't be a problem. And so maybe the Queen needs to get a letter. I'm sure she's not going to be without her power, and if so, she's going to be able to afford it anyway. And likely she has it in some trust, she can all write it off, like you can't. And that's another problem. You get a legalistic world, and you complain about not being legalistic, and they gave you all the tools in order to write everything off, and so you got to get a delayed return, but you don't even get that. Now, that said, I looked at doing all that, and that's still available, but it's a different type of mindset. And a different type of waste of time in order to do things. And I've said before, I've already told you, I decided when I saw the mining law and the land disposal law, I'm going to try that path. The new future energy system. 1.1 million more utility smart meters to be deployed in Virginia. $203.9 million to be spent on customer information platform, if you thought the United States was immune from this. This is in a place in a state which was pretty resistant to smart meters. The state now has buckled, whatever their influence was. And now they've actually going to now invest in the infrastructure to put everybody into servitude. Don't just go make more power. Don't make it more affordable. No. Put more constriction and limitation on people and charge, exact from them, the money that they go to work in their lives into the system so we can do more of that against them. American opposition to expensive, hazardous, and privacy-invasive utility smart meters, electric, gas, and water, has been ongoing since companies first started deploying them. A free online document, which has a link, was produced about these horrible devices in 2013 and then in 2017, adding insult to injury. The high costs associated with the purchase, installing, and replacing them are usually passed on to customers if you have a place that hasn't been burned up. And part of this question goes to forest fires, or whether they were started with them, and there was lots of evidence, as I've reported behind the woodshed, of the fact. Why am I interested in that? Because part of what I do and have done for years is look at the improper use of the national wildfire policy, which would have the Forest Service and the BLM state that they have authority, when in fact the actual national policy is the state authority, local authorities have it. I wrote a white paper. We gave that to through channels to a seat of decision in the county who championed that forward. We finally got that changed because they were burning us out. So if you just looked at what the law was, you find out there's none of this authority that they're doing this to us. It's the relinquishment of authority that is allowing this on us, and no one says different. So that's the smart meter thing, that those things burn up, and there are evidence that that was causing some of the forest fires, which were mismanaged and allowed to burn outrageously, not putting themselves out like Class 1. And then we found out, as I did the study of the Wildfire Policy Act, they took what was a natural event or an event that was done by a private party and brought it into an area, let the fire burn into an area that they had a prescriptive burn plan, and then they changed it to a prescriptive burn. And they could perpetually let the forest burn. Now, I just said a bunch of stuff. Probably 99.999% of the people heard that don't even understand any of what I just said. And that's the problem. There's none of us that are doing this work. Just a couple of us that do. Some of you do your own work. I'm not saying you don't do that, but did we know as a nation and a people everywhere that was the problem? No, we didn't. And the resistance it took me 5 years to help people. We took the people that I was helping to get this pushed through. And one seat of decision was someone in the county to actually champion the thing forward. And it met resistance the whole and entire way. Next year, all fixed. Well, until the arsonist came from the north. Despite all the problems associated with meters, including fires, explosions, and health risks to humans and pets, smart meter deployment has already reached 65% in the United States. Over the years, the state of Virginia has repeatedly rejected the smart meter that seems to have been changed. So in the state of Virginia, the infrastructure is being invested to keep you controlled, put you at risk, and no one really says much of anything. No one organizes. And if you can't organize at that level, then we're back to how can we organize at a mutual defense level? Because that's part of that as well. Moving on here, keep on going. Quebec government becomes world's first to impose steep health tax for unvaxxed citizens. The power that's gained when people remain silent or don't actually target the proper avenue. In other words, it took me 5 years understanding with working with colleagues to figure out what problem, why we had smoke all year long and fire all season long. Why were they starting fires in summertime when there's no water as well during droughts? Why? No one had an answer for that. They just accepted it. It took me and my colleagues 5 years of working, actually longer, but I think it was more like 7 years, to finally figure it out what it was. So you can't just sit from your computers or behind the scenes or your phones or whatever you think you're doing. You're even in your mind and think you know enough in order to stop all this. And it's not going to change unless you step up. That's just experience. But that's what's going on here. Quebec now, they're going to tax you. A health tax, they're calling it, and in quotes. It seems that throughout the pandemic, the English-speaking countries of Kanukistan, Australia, and New Zealand have been in competition to see the respective government can impose the most restrictive, liberty-suffocating COVID measures on its population, all ironically in the name of health and public safety. Okay, so when it stopped making sense, where were the people to rise up? And does this, it's liberty-suffocating COVID measures on something that was never non-fraudulently demonstrated, is your problem. It has nothing to do with those measures. You're allowing the measures. And now I told you it was coming to here. You're now going to be taxed for being healthy. There's even more about this. They're mandating that you have to act. You have to do something. The Canadian province of Quebec will charge a health tax to residents who are not vaccinated against COVID-19. Now we got the word, residents. Talking about this way earlier in the broadcast, you start understanding what those are, what those do, and you start distancing yourself as best you can, it takes a little bit of work, then all of a sudden you're not that resident. You're not just saying you're not, you're showing that you haven't done anything to be otherwise. That's probably going to be the hardest thing to do in Kanukistan because everybody's already been socialized. It doesn't mean you give up, though. That's why you go the other avenue and you say, okay, even if I'm subject and you purport that I'm a resident, you haven't done inside the law what you are required to do to say the first thing. And so, here it is, taxing the healthy. You haven't heard any different from me for 2 years and before. It's taxing those that are not. You are created to be a problem when you're not. Giving those that purport to have the authority to have a say, to give them the leverage in order to get in what they need, and they do it in law. And they out you, they get around your system, through your system, be better than you do. And the lunacy of this to come down, they just fortify the existence of all these frauds. A Canadian woman, first person to be diagnosed with climate change. Did you hear that? Are you paying attention? Anyone paying attention? Am I just noise in the room? Thank you for even being that noise. But are you listening to this nonsense? Canadian woman, first person to be diagnosed with climate change. And you read this story, and then near the end, experts agree with this doctor, saying he was courageous to say that a woman had something that's a fraud. Something that actually doesn't exist. And when you look at it, it's actually the climate, not climate change, but the fact that the climate one time this year went extremely hot and she had her problems. And subheading here, she had comorbidities that brought her more susceptible. Sound familiar, folks? Canadian woman was diagnosed with climate change on Monday after suffering intense symptoms following a record-setting heat wave, right? Is that a climate change or is that just a heat wave? Right now they're having a freeze wave, I understand. And Dr. Kyle Merritt of British Columbia, no less, felt that using the term, which is often reserved for describing humans' effect on the planet, you cancers, was the only appropriate way to account for how the woman's underlying condition were exacerbated by extreme temperatures. It used to be called heat prostration. It used to be called Mother Nature. Temperatures rose to 122 degrees Fahrenheit this summer, marking a historic moment in Kanukistan's history. A total of 570 people died due to the effects of extreme temperatures. That is not climate change. Climate change is politics. Climate change is the fraud. Climate change is the name of transforming societies. It's politics. The heat is a factual problem. It's not a political movement under the auspices of some benefice. The patient that Merritt diagnosed, this guy should actually be challenged for his medical license, but anyway, Merritt diagnosed with climate change, it's like with symptoms, is a woman in her 70s suffering from numerous conditions, including asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular issues. And so this is an inept doctor because he's not addressing those underlying issues, which, number one, is an immunological problem, and likely, well, that's probably causing her cardiovascular problem as well, but they're working together. He's not addressing those problems. But does it sound familiar with so-called COVID? The people that are having the worst cases of it are with comorbidities. We've heard that forever in this issue. And they knew that is the more important. Oh, well, gain of function. How about the fact that you knew you were doing something to people with comorbidities and you were harming them with this? That's not a beneficial use. Enough said. Now we are to the day we can be diagnosed with climate change, a political usurpation of life. That's her problem. If I want to go that far, yeah, let's limit climate change. Let's take out everybody, all the human factors, all the people that are promoting climate change. We get rid of that, we get rid of the climate change, don't we? And then we're still back to what? Nature. 122 degrees, maybe below zero next time, 6 months from now. Oh, wait a minute, maybe now. Yeah, we don't know. Mother Nature's pretty fascinating how unremarkable she is in the little window of space that we exist in for temperature and climate. Very interesting. Anyway, now we can get climate change now. I'm going to stop making sense. Where were you to call it out? And what you see is that they have a whole bunch of people that will call themselves expert to agree that that was the proper decision, the courageous decision. Moving on. Must read. By complying with COVID-19 guidelines, I would be participating in terrorism. A VA nurse sends out a letter and compared the guidelines as an act of terrorism. I just like these stories that come out that are consistent with what I've been saying for a couple years. How did I get at it? The black and white. I just went to the black and white and said, what was supposed to happen? Why isn't anything happening? And my disappointment with this letter is that he didn't identify as a nurse, that he had no objective basis to go on. And the mitigation values, which he gets really close, but the mitigation was really not consistent with the law, not consistent with his directive, his mission to help people and comfortably and properly. A registered nurse who works out of Fayetteville VA Medical Center sent out a letter to explain the reasons for his refusal to comply with protocols and guidelines set forth by the Veterans Administration. I would have liked to have heard, and I don't have a communication with the guy. The guy says he's not on social media. I kind of did a quick check. It's true. He's not there. Jerry Bledsoe. I would have liked to have wondered why he didn't add that the protocols were not based on a non-fraudulent exigency. And I hope you understand the simplicity of that neutron bomb in the lap of anybody trying to assert protocols and guidelines. Jesse Bledsoe told the Gateway Pundit that the reason he sent out the letter is to provide the best care for his brothers and sisters seeking care in the Veterans Administration. And he goes and has his reasons. I just want him to know that I didn't see it in his discussion. I didn't see it in what they were talking, that he needs to say those protocols and guidelines were not based on an objective basis relative to the demonstration of a non-fraudulent exigency, and then state what they're claiming is fraud. And he says he's going to lose his job on this. He may have already done that. And he would have protected himself when he said that by a retaliation complaint backwards, if he had just shown and explained the fraud, not said what will be looked on as an expert to be the truth. He has to attack that jurisdiction, that authority. The refusal to comply with protocols and guidelines is not a refusal where they're fraud. Anyway, I applaud someone standing up. As you'll hear in that totalitarian discussion and video and interview, it was courageous people, however they got harmed in being courageous, that stood up against regimes that were trying to take other people down in themselves. They stood up. And so here's another one that might be taken down. You can rally around the guy. I would hope that he can adjust and amend his letter to say the protocols and the guidelines are baseless. They're not based on a non-fraudulent exigency. And then understand what I'm talking about finding out that none of his patients ever had a local public official say that they were the cause by a non-fraudulent examination. And that's all strictly out of the black and white communicable disease in his state. Pretty simple in my mind. Really, it is really, I don't know what more to say. It's really that simple. And we have people that are willing to come out and we step in the wrong spot right off the bat. We keep ourselves allowing the oppressor to have any kind of an authority. And this gets us into the mindset that we start making mistakes and we start feeling bad about it. And we haven't asserted our own responsibility. And then we try to do the evasion thing and just one bad step after another where we now start hearing, this is really a sad thing to hear. This is our response to us not being aware. And we have things like this, which, you know, I can just hear all the so-called, what is it, MGTOW, whatever, people just jumping all over this. It irritates me to hear it because it's all divisive. But now we hear this story, and it's a natural response, I suppose. But this is the harm that comes on to people as they start finding out there's a problem. They didn't really appreciate what that was because the so-called leaders proceeded on fraud and continued to not disclose things and then made it sound like they could impose. And then they terrorized everyone. Vaccinated women are now lying about their vax status as more men see them as infertility risks. Do I need to read more? I cannot almost get past that. I don't even want to read the story, but people are figuring it out too late. Why it's so important to spread the word, even if people don't believe you're an expert, still spread the word. Send this broadcast to people. If it's too much for 2 hours, find the part that you resonated with you and tell them that you, if you think that's going to work. Have them learn where to go to protect themselves. Women lying about their status. Can you see the ripple effect of that problem on top if a guy doesn't understand the problem? In other words, it's real. What we were saying before this thing got started, that these so-called leaders claiming that a chemical weapon jab that instigates the variants was the answer instead of every other lawful thing, like maybe cannabis. Oh, God forbid. We now have these irreparable harms and this fractured distancing atomization of society that they want to go after your families and your future and your expectation. And guess what? That's what that totalitarian interview turns out. People in socialist countries that came from there, that escaped, came here to the United States and are seeing the identical thing. That they went after the families. They have to destroy the memory. Destroy the future. And I won't read more. This is really a devastating condition going on us. How quickly it's hit us. Your future generations destroyed. There's enmity between you now for sure. That become real now if you hadn't heard it before. Fully vaccinated Australians in hospitals for COVID-19 surpass unvaccinated New South Wales for the first time. The moronic outbreak is the actual reflection of the chemical weapon response. Unsurprising that it's peaking out or getting larger or whatever they're saying. Unsurprising to me. The ignorant, the insanity of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome by the so-called officials, which are actually usurpers and criminals. They don't care. They're not looking at reason. I get lots of people trying to reason with this. There is no reason. When it stopped making sense, there is no reason. It's violation of law. Somewhere. You just don't know it. You haven't found it. And yet I've always looked and said, oh, well, here it is. In fact, I just did a quick research on notary publics. My reference to notary publics was reading old documents about, because I wanted to find out the origins of the notary public. And I don't remember what I remember, but something came to us, and a statement was made, and I said, that's not right. And I went back and found the current notary public handbook. And that old study was taught me well. I also educated myself on something I didn't understand. The point is, the rule, the law had been written, this thing that I didn't think was correct, and I was correct to the extent of a decision that gets to be made that I don't have a decision to make here, that someone else does, the notary does. Now, I wasn't wrong, though. The point was that I had read somewhere that it was written, objective basis, black and white, but a certain condition exists, and a certain thing has to happen, or a certain protection must happen. Had I not known that, I would not have known to even think about it. And this is the thing I keep telling you. In fact, a couple of you have sent letters. I think it's just a matter of how much you read. I've read quite a bit. It sits there, but I don't remember it. It just sits there as standards, principles, things that are sitting there to do. When I hear something, my mind just triggers into, wait a minute, I qualify everything. I don't know how I'm doing it. And part of that may not be me either. But something, maybe a power outside me, because sometimes I'm wondering, where did I remember that one? And yet it's there to be proven out. And the more you read, the more you know, the quicker you come to the answer, and the quicker you can expose the BS. In this case, it's organized crime. In this case, it's open criminal, totalitarian, authoritarian oppression. And for the most part, leaving you defenseless, which is all what the attorneys are supposed to protect us from anyway, in their official capacities and their undertakings. Anyway, getting back to this. Clearly, they were going to go happen. This was going to happen. We now have the first records that the mitigation measures, even if you give them the answer, the authority, is failing. It's not preventing. As I said, when you get to the, look very carefully, your local communicable disease cell will require prevention. These jabs are admitted not to prevent a thing. They cannot be even on the table of consideration. Where did that one go? Well, that one went because not many people understand what they were supposed to be doing, not what they were supposed to be holding the fight to the fire of the people that were trying to abuse them, and did not respond, and did not speak. And we're seeing the ramification of the, even if you give them the authority, that the decision, because they never identified the real thing, everything they do seems to turn to, well, not good. A stinky pile and a mess. And guess who gets to pay for that? Smell that stink for the rest of their life. As I turn to another video that was sent to me, Hackable Humans, I don't play these videos much because of the audio potential problem. I just want you to see this link, Hackable Humans. He explained, and this is a guy speaking out of Davos of all places. He might be an honest guy who just got himself in the wrong place, doesn't understand what those folks are about. But he will explain to you that when enough AI and computers and technology comes together, those that have the technology, which are actually third parties more than governments, as I've been telling you, can know you better than you know yourself and guide your life and control your life. To that extent, who else have you heard forever behind a woodshed telling you about that? I'm going to offer you something else. It's only a minute and 59 seconds long. Pretty powerful in my mind. He's explaining to a group of people what he may not understand is the plan. They know enough about you, they know you better than yourself. And I'm going to say, he's talking about that in a time when before this became his observation, they knew you better than yourself, and they got you here. As I've been saying, where do I find that? Where can you read that? Go read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion without all the bias and prejudice and nonsense statements and all the other things. Just go read it. Make it real. Put it in yourself. I don't want to put too much on your experience of that. It was devastating to me. I don't know how it's going to bounce off of you. It forms the basis for how I start to look at stuff. There is people out there that just knows me. I just don't know even know about myself. Like I'm too busy with my life. And they are exploiting it. They have exploited it. I can watch it across the world right now. And this guy comes up and says, what's coming down, this technocracy, is a condition that's going to control and make people hackable because they will be able to be directed in their mind psychologically. And so, take a minute and 59 seconds, probably the best time you might read, do anything this week. Breaking: GOP Oversight Committee releases emails showing Fauci concealed, big concealed in capital letters, lab leak info. I don't know where I want to start with this, but is everybody as ignorant as the Hill people are? They're trying to explain something that shows us a fraud, but are they all as ignorant in the use of the terminology as I'm hearing on this video? Is it a question that Fauci concealed lab leak info? Was it really concealed? What, did anything actually leak? And if it did, was it a leak? No, go read the agenda. I saw this and I was listening to this report. You need to hear this stuff, and I hope the problems creep up. This is an example of how you can listen with a critical ear and destroy even someone who's trying to tell you something, expose you a truth. It's not enough of the truth. It's promoting the wrong agenda as well. They want to say that the Wuhan had anything to do with this. All Wuhan did, and you look at it in the, get on the wiki, it'll tell you this. Wuhan just transmitted through their so-called scientists what they thought it was. The United States picked that up and never challenged it. And guess what? We found out those sequences were gotten from the United States. This is not a leak. They didn't do anything behind the scenes, but they're all in on it. And so I got irritated a bit about this, but thank you very much for sending me this issue. It shows me how even good-meaning people trying to explain to other people the right thing are not really explaining the proper story, the proper facts. And that gets us away from the fact, oh, concealed the lab leak, well, now it's gain of function. No, it all has to be gain of function. Otherwise, they have admitted to creating prohibited chemical weapons under Title 50. I don't make this stuff up. I've discussed this over and over. And as long as we are making these sensationalized stories and making concealed the lab info more important than what's actually going on, we miss the target. We'll miss it every time. And so I have a link, a tab for you of the letter that they have linked on the video for this. Please listen to it. I got irritated, but it was good because I went through and had to qualify, wrote down some stuff. I was going to talk about it today, but I think I want to spend a little bit more time because I went way too fast, maybe went a little bit quicker than I should to make a comment to this. But let's move on. Read that, get that link, listen to how they might be telling you something, but listen how it falls short of the real story, and you can go find the real story for yourself, and it has nothing to do with all this covert nonsense that's going on. It's a straight-up problem. Military documents, again, gain a function, contradict Fauci testimony. That's just a part of the problem. It's not actually not gain of function. It had to be gain of function. They had to have a reason why a spike protein was invented at all. At all. And they've hidden it underneath three or four layers of fraud like this and continued reporting. And when military documents are produced of what the military knew and how they were doing it by Project Veritas, Twitter banned them immediately. Fascinating, the control. And you got to read that document that's on their website and go read the document written by the commander. He misidentifies a couple things in there, but he does identify they knew this was what was going on. And nobody stepped up. The military never stepped up to protect your nation. Never protect up to made it a national security interest thing. Never looked at the insiders working the system as a cancer. That's going to be up to us. Your local state adjudicant general may be someone you can apply to, as I said, since they knew. They knew things. They knew something wasn't right, but they continued. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you gained something out of this. And anybody, please spread the word. Pass the links around for the broadcast once I get it posted. Thank you very much for syndicating all that. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just opened a whole case of Wolfpass.